And we've still got open lines for you. And don't forget, next hour, I will play that interview with Larry Haber, who is representing the family of alleged time traveler John Teeter. That'll be next hour. When we come back, though, we'll still have more open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And as you know by now, I have elected not to do the interview with the devil channeler. However, apparently we're going to record a statement from the devil channeler, but I will not be doing the interview. I decided to back out on that. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
This is George from Russellville.
Hello, George.
Russell, Georgia. I've been a long-time fan. I just haven't been able to get through and everything, but I was trying to get through on the creepy line. But my creepy thing is, and this has been ever since I was younger, it's not like a direct place, it's just any place, you know. I got this bad thing about trees, like ugly trees, like in any city, like a suburban area. You know,
they look like monster trees.
If something's wrong with them, if they're dying or something, they just look weird. And I get this fight or flight reaction, you know, which is not like any tree, you know, like, oh, I've trained in Fort Bragg. I've trained in Fort Knox.
So you're a tough guy.
Yes. And we've trained, you know, with Special Forces units, and, you know, we do a lot of reconnaissance in the woods and stuff like that. So it's not that. It's just like when you get out of the woods and go to the city and see those ugly trees that's standing there, and, you know.
Now, do you get close to them at all?
No, sir. I don't know. Maybe I've looked at, what is it, Night of the Living Dead, or, you know, too many times. Not Night of the Living, but Evil Dead, is it?
Well, do you think these trees are going to reach down and grab you?
I really don't know. They look really weird, and I'm like prepared to do anything in just in case, you know. I'd like to tell you something pretty quick.
Okay. And only because your name is George.
I know. I was talking to this lady, and which I'm recently divorced, and I was talking to this lady, which I've just found out she's like 6 years older than me, you know, but come to find out, she is a long-time listener, too.
See, how about that synchronicity?
So there's a pretty
marry that woman.
Excuse me?
Marry that woman.
and this was a quick one, too. I heard a caller call in about some birds.
I was reading an email about some crows that apparently were flying all over Iowa.
Okay, I have something similar. I'm recently divorced, and my ex-wife, she brings over my son, you know, on the weekend so I can spend time with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time I didn't have my car, so it was getting serviced, and she would, you know, take me on errands, anything that I need. And we were, you know, leaving, you know, the Walmart, and she pointed. She said, George, look up. And I'm like, what? And I look up, and I've never seen in my entire life that many birds. It was literally, the whole sky was literally
now
covered.
When was this? Recently?
Yes, this was probably about, I'd say 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe something's going on. Maybe these birds know something we don't.
Like a blanket of birds.
Yeah.
I'm being honest, sir.
That is possible, George. I mean, these animals know things way before we do. And if they're happening in Iowa, that was the reason why he sent the email. He wanted to go on record to say there's something weird happening here. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Terry in Cincinnati.
Hi, Terry.
First of all, I want to tell you about some synchronicity.
Sure.
Jason in Harlan, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Harlan County is about the creepiest place I've ever lived. I'm just teasing. I lived there for about 5 years in Harlan, Kentucky, and it's a sweet place to live. But I'm in Cincinnati now, and ever since I was little, I have actually sought out creepy places.
Why?
I don't know. They just seem comforting to me.
No matter how creepy.
Well, I guess.
And how do you find them? You, like, read stories about them? People tell you these places, and then you go find them?
Well, in my own home, when I was little, I would just go, we had an attic, and I would go and just go sit in the attic and just feel comforted.
In the dark?
Yeah. And I would. We had a space under the stairs, and I would just go and sit there.
Well, you know what I used to do when I was a kid, probably about 6 or 7? I would get like a big box. My dad would bring home a box, a huge box, and I'd cut a doorway in a few little windows, and I'd go in there and spend hours in those things.
Oh.
But those weren't creepy places.
Well, it was all dark, and there was stuff all around, and trunks, and clothes, and your imagination could just go.
What did you think about in those spots?
I don't know. Nothing. And I would just imagine ghosts and stuff, and I had, when I could read, I would read ghost stories.
Did you ever bring your friends up there and try to scare them?
No. The creepiest thing, though, was that my grandma Ann used to do dotted paint by numbers.
What's so creepy about that?
Well, she did clowns, and to this day, I am scared of clowns.
Well, hey, I'm not afraid of them. I just don't like them.
Can you watch that scene in Poltergeist where that clown catches that boy?
I don't like it.
Ugh.
I don't like it, but it doesn't scare me because I'm pretty macho.
That's the creepiest. But now, when I went and lived in San Jose, California, I did go to the Winchester House.
You went there?
Yeah.
That's kind of.
Have you ever been there?
No, but I've heard about it. It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy, but it's really pretty cool.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
How about that? First time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Terre Haute, Indiana.
George. Sure.
I got a little thing on UFOs I'd like to share with you and your listening.
Sure, please.
My father, back during the Apollo missions, was flying for a company that several individuals that were in this company had connections with people down in at the Cape. And they used to go down and see the blast-offs every time they had them. Well, on one of the occasions when they went down there, Dad was able to, they had dinner one night. And this was prior to one of the Apollo missions. And he sat at a table with some individuals.
And had we already been to the
moon?
Well,
right? Yes, we'd been to the moon, right?
Okay.
And he was talking to the this particular individual was the command module pilot. And I can't remember and give you the name of the exact mission that he was the command pilot on, but he was telling my father, my dad had experienced several occasions. He flew all his life. He was a pilot for several major companies.
Okay. And do you remember the astronaut's name?
I believe it was Stu Rusa. I don't know if you know who that is.
I've heard the name.
Command module pilot. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can probably find that while we're still talking.
I don't even know if he's still living or not. But my dad had told him because of an experience that he had when he was landing at New York and when it was called Idlewild, you know, airport.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago.
And he had a UFO come in on his wingtip and followed him clear down to landing and then taxied along the runway with him and then shot off in a ball of light. And that stayed with my dad all his life till he died in 1980. But he told me that when they were sitting there having dinner, that he asked this particular astronaut what he'd experienced, you know, and if what my father saw was anything that he might have seen. He said, well, let me share a story with you, Lloyd. He said that they were followed all the way from when they reached orbit, you know, got out of our own atmosphere, all the way to the moon. UFOs followed them all the way there and all the way back. And one of the reasons that we did not go back to the moon, and he specifically told Dad this.
By the way, Apollo 14, he went with our friend Edgar Mitchell.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
And one of the reasons that we did not go back to the moon is what they saw up there. They had regular airports and bases, just like we have an airport here. You know, you know when you land in an airport, you know what it looks like.
Sure.
They saw these things up there. So that was one of the reasons they did not go back.
Were they told not to go back?
Well, no, he said that's one of the reasons it was given to him specifically, that they weren't to go back there again. Because what was seen on the moon.
Well, you would think we would want to go back.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was not to disturb what was there. Maybe there was some reason. I don't know. This is what he told my father. You know,
And this came from the late astronaut Stu Roosa.
That's right.
He died, by the way, at age of 61, pretty young.
My dad died in 1980. He was 65.
All right. Did your father have any reasons to doubt this guy or to make up this story?
None whatsoever. I've talked to Stan Freeman once on the phone about it. You know, I called him one time. I think it was on another radio talk show, and I talked to him over the phone about it. He found it very interesting.
What's
too.
Interesting is Edgar Mitchell believes in UFOs and he believes in extraterrestrial life, but he has told me directly several times that he didn't see anything on the moon.
Well, I don't think you're going to get any one astronaut to talk to you specifically. You know, he might on the side, but I doubt if he talked to you on an all-night radio show that's going out all over the world.
Sure, that's true.
I mean, I think there's a lot of technology that's out there that we're not being, you know, told about. I can tell you another real short story.
Yeah, I'd like to. And let me ask you one more about Roosa first. Did he kind of imply who built all these structures?
There was nothing said.
Okay.
But there were structures. There were airports there. Just like their bases, you know.
Functioning or maybe old
functioning
ones?
Functioning bases, correct.
All right.
Just like, you know, you'd see airplanes sitting on a tarmac.
Right, right.
He saw a UFO sitting there. You know, he was the command module pilot. He flew the module as it made the orbits around the moon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you can take it from there.
That's an incredible story. Okay,
right.
And what's the other one?
Well, the other story is, you know, we've talked about technology as far as economy on our cars, you know, and everything. Does it exist? My dad worked for Autolite back in the early 1940s, early 50s. And then, again, he was chief pilot for the company back then. But on his weekends off, he used to spend a lot of time down in the research lab. And at the time, you know, we had normal aspirated engine, carbureted engines running on the bench. And he said that those engines down there were getting between 60 and 70 miles a gallon.
Oh,
on the
my
bench
gosh.
At that time. I think that it would be interesting if you could get a guest on some night that maybe, I don't know if they'd still be alive or not, that would have some, you know, something to say maybe about technology that they've seen back. That far back, that would be willing to talk about it.
That they somehow put the thumb over to keep it from hitting the marketplace.
Right.
Yeah, we're working on some stuff like that.
I mean, I think, you know, I think we all need to know about it, the real truth of what's being going on in this country, how the oil companies are, you know, keeping the secrets for us for profits.
You think we can handle the truth?
I could.
Yeah, so. You may be different, though.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Great story on Roosa, by the way. That is an incredible story. Let's go to our creepy hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's John from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good
back
for you.
In 99, I started, I had a stroke in my right carotid artery.
Oh, my.
Which started my hobby with sitting still in MRI machines.
Because
if you move a little bit, you got to stay there another 15 minutes.
Now, in those days, these were the enclosed ones, weren't they?
Yes, they still are, the ones that I go in.
Do you enjoy them?
Not at all.
No, I freak. I was in one once a year and a half ago, and they had to haul me out of there. I mean, to me, it was like being in a coffin. I had to get out.
It is, and I've learned to stock up on Valium. I go in.
Yeah, you're supposed to be almost knocked out, I guess, when you do that. But they have these open ones now. Why do you go into the enclosed ones?
HMO, I suppose. But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
I also have heart problems.
Okay.
And last year, I had my ninth angioplasty.
How old are you?
Right now, I'm 36.
You're a kid.
I'm an anomaly.
Is this genetic?
Yeah, it's genetic.
Okay.
But they placed 3 stents in my right coronary artery on a Monday. And an MRI appointment is hard to keep or hard to get. And I had one for the following Thursday. And if you know what stents are, they're tiny pieces of metal.
Oh, yeah, they're titanium.
Yeah, and MRIs are huge magnetic.
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
The doctors say after 72 hours you should be okay.
That'll tear you apart.
That's what I was thinking as I laid inside that coffin-like tomb. That's a creepy place.
So you've had nine of these things?
I have nine, yeah, angioplasties. Yep.
You know what? I'm going to I did a show called The Calcium Bomb. And Douglas Mulhall, I'm a nut when it comes to alternative medicine and things like that. You need to call this guy. I'm going to give you his name now. He's a Los Angeles doctor who practices alternative medicine. I am by no means a doctor, but you need to call this guy and go see him. His name's Douglas Hopper, H-O-P-P-E-R. Just Google search him. You'll find him. He's in L.A. somewhere.
Okay.
He practices what Douglas Mulhall wrote about in his book, The Calcium Bomb, where he talks about calcium is really encapsulated nanobacteria.
Yes.
And it builds up in your heart. Well, anyways, this doctor will put you on a program, and it may save your life. You know, I'm not a doctor, John, but go ahead and call him, make an appointment with him, and see what he can do for you. Just tell him you heard all about him on my show.
Okay.
He'll give you a break, I'm sure.
All right.
But, you know, if you've had nine these things.
My cholesterol is lower than that of a vegetarian, yet I still go in at least once a year.
Yeah, your body somehow is calcifying really fast.
Yeah.
So you need to get going on that.
Yep.
You'll be our living study.
I'm an anomaly.
All right, thanks. Check in. Maybe we can help you. That's the important thing. East of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi there.
Yeah. Good morning, George.
Yeah.
Is this me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I wanted to say, George, I am, like, thoroughly disappointed in your decision not to go with that medium with the devil.
You are one of a handful. You know that. There's about 98%. Everybody says,
right.
Congratulations. Good move.
No, I said I disagree.
No. I know that. I know you're one of the few who would like me to go ahead with it, huh?
Well, the reason being, George, is that from the beginning, when the keys to this program were turned over to you, this has been cutting edge.
True.
You have to go through with that.
Yeah, but why do I have to cut my head off doing it?
Well, you know, that's between you and God, I suppose, George, but this is what makes Coast to Coast Coast to coast.
Yeah, but this is
you
dealing with someone who may be channeling the devil. We're dealing with my soul, for crying out loud.
Well, with all due respect, babe, if you have faith in your heart, you don't need anything else.
Well, I do, but I'm also weak every once in a while. I'm a human being.
Uh-huh. Well, again, I reiterate, it's coast to coast. You have, when the keys were turned over, you have to do things like this. I suggest it's almost a... you're responsible to do something that's groundbreaking, George, don't you think?
Yeah, it is also ground digging. You know where I could end up if something went the wrong way?
Well,
I could be his assistant.
Well, I mean, Art would interview witches or...
Oh, I've done that.
Well, that's, I know, but come on, George. Keep us going here, buddy.
See?
You got to do it.
See, it's because of that mentality that I almost did it in the first place. I see. That's what was driving me to do it.
That's
I came up with this
thing. A
lot of
us listeners are, I mean, we're not, well, I'll speak for myself. It's not a morbid fascination, but
it's a curiosity. You got to face it. It's a curiosity.
So for sure. Yeah, absolutely. You're an investigator to an extent, right?
What if I had someone else do it? Would
what
that
was,
bother you?
What was the thing is that I put it on the air and you make up your mind if it's truth or fiction, basically. That's what Coast to Coast, right?
Right.
So.
Right. Well, what if I have someone else do it for me? Does that bother you?
Like who? Art?
No, I don't think he'd do it.
Well, I don't know.
But I'm not going to speak for him. But I mean, maybe I'll have Linda Moulton Howe do it.
Well, that still wouldn't be as interesting. The keys were turned over to you.
Well, that's true. I do have the keys now. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. You will not believe the amount of fast blasts that I've just gotten from people who not only support my decision not to do the interview with the devil channeler, but who actually believe that phone call we had right before the break was the devil himself trying to tempt me into doing the interview. It is absolutely uncanny how many people say good decision, but that person's the devil, and he's trying to sweet-talk you. He's trying to tempt you. Stay away from him. A long time ago, Father Malachi Martin decided to get into that business of exorcisms, and did an interview with Art Bell called Perfect Possession. That is available to you with the After Dark newsletter for 1 week only, by the way. And then that, it is no more. They found enough to last another few days, and it is finished. You can call 1-888-727-5505. Operators there 24/7. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, coasttocoastam.com. The March issue, by the way, which you'll get after you order this and get that free CD. What if, for example, you had a summer shirt and it could instantly feel cold temperatures and turn into a heavy jacket? That's what nanotechnology is working on. All fascinating stuff that you can find in After Dark and get the free CD, but only for 1 week to go on Perfect Possession. My, oh my, one person here is calling me a sissy for not doing the devil interview, and then about 89% of the people are saying, don't do it, good call. Another person is saying he was the devil who called in, and then another guy said, have Hoagland do the interview. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the Creepy Place Hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, this is Debbie, one of your truck driver buddies.
Hi,
down in Lebanon, Ohio.
Well, welcome to the show. Now, where's your creepy place, Debbie?
It's up in a little town called LaValle, Wisconsin.
The town or some spot there?
It's the house we bought. Me and my boyfriend in August bought my aunt and uncle's house.
That's not too long ago.
No, it's not. My uncle passed away about 5 years ago, my aunt about 10. We bought the house in August. We've been remodeling. We haven't been able to live in it yet. But we've been remodeling it, and I was in the house by myself late at night doing some stuff, you know, painting or whatever. And all of a sudden, I heard the garage door open, and I heard voices talking and laughing. And I thought maybe it was my boyfriend and some of my friends coming over to, you know, to see how far I was or if I was doing okay, right?
A little pre-housewarming party, huh?
Yeah, really. And I go, it's a tri-level ranch, so it's got a basement and then, you know, or it's got a garage and then come up some stairs and a basement and more stairs, and you got kitchen, living room, right? And I was in the living room, which is right above the garage, when I heard those voices and stuff. And so I go to the top of the stairs to the basement, and I look down, and I'm waiting for somebody to come, and there's nobody there.
Oh.
And my boyfriend said he's felt it a couple of times where he's been in the house where he's felt somebody looking over his shoulder or watching him.
That's creepy.
It was just really weird, and I've told my cousins, and everybody gets goosebumps.
That is creepy. Producer Tom, the person you talked to before you got to me, he's got a haunted house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a haunted house. I'm convinced somebody must have died in this house a long time ago, and he didn't know about it. But,
well, my uncle died in that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He died in the living room in that house.
Well, that could be him, then. He's hanging around.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's my aunt and my uncle. I mean, it's not mean or nothing. They're laughing.
They're just
they're
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you live
they're
with
watching
that?
Over us.
Can you live with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The dog comes in the house, and she lays down. She's not freaked out or nothing. It's just one of those things.
You do know if you ever sell the place, depending on, you know, the law of your specific state, you might have to disclose that it's haunted. Did you know that?
Yeah, but it's never going to be sold. It's on my mom and dad. Well, my dad passed away on the 28th of December.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Right after Christmas. At least he had Christmas, huh?
Well, we knew where he was going, and he told us he wasn't going till after the holidays.
Did he die in a hospital or at home?
No. I watched him take his last breath.
You did.
The whole family was there. He died at home. We all took care of him. He had cancer, and we just all told him, you know, Dad, it's after Christmas. All bets are off. You can go anytime. And it was 5:33 in the morning, which is, well, 5:53 in the morning, which is really the time that my dad used to always get up and make coffee for my mom. And it was me and the next door neighbor who were with him when he passed. And then after that, I went and got my mom up and said, "Mom, Dad's gone." And then took it from there.
How'd she handle it? Or did she expect it to the point where it was all right?
Yeah, we all knew. That's why when Art's wife passed, I was just like, oh, wow. I know exactly what he's going through.
Well, at least you had time to prepare.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot, George.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
This is Ed calling from Lansing, Michigan.
Ed, that's the home of the Spartans.
Yes, it is. And I was calling to share a creepy place story with you.
Sure.
I wonder if maybe you might have even heard of the place being from this area.
Maybe.
Cemetery north of Lansing. I don't know the exact name of the cemetery. I only know a name that it was referred to by as Blood Cemetery.
No, I have not heard about it.
Well, I had never heard about it myself, but as a young lad at the age of 18, having just graduated school, used to hang out with friends of mine, and back then, of course, muscle cars were very popular, and we used to just drive around in our cars, and one of the guys that I was with had heard of the place, and we'd been out north of Lansing at a drive-in, watched a movie, and it was getting late in the evening, and he suggested that we go check out this cemetery, and well, I didn't think too much of it at the time, and, you know, being young and naive. So, anyways, we wound up going out to this place, and when we got there, of course, the gate was open, and we drove up into the cemetery. Now, the cemetery has a U-shaped drive, as most, but at the back of the drive, it has a fork off the drive that goes back to what would be a caretaker's place.
Okay.
Well, we get back to the split in the road there where the drive goes back to the caretaker place, and he stops, and we're sitting there looking around and looking back at the caretaker place. Excuse me, it makes me nervous just thinking about this story.
All these years later, huh?
I haven't spoke with anybody about this since the fellows that I was with when we talked about the experience afterwards, and it's just listening to your show tonight brought back memories. But anyways, as we were sitting there looking back at the caretaker's place, we all seen a pair of red eyes looking back at us from about 75 to 100 yards down where the caretaker place was. And as we're sitting there looking at this, wondering what in the world, you know, is it an animal or what is this?
Yeah.
A fog starts rolling in.
Oh.
We decide it's time to get out of here. So we turn around to leave, and as we're leaving, this fog is coming up behind our car. And he's stepping on the gas to go, and he's driving a Nova that's pretty well souped up, and he's stepping right on it, and we're not going anywhere. We're just sitting there.
You mean you...
Tires are spinning.
Spinning on what?
On the pavement, throwing gravel. We're sitting there trying to go, and we're going nowhere.
How weird. Like it was holding you back.
Very weird. Eventually, we finally started to move, and we got out of there. And after we got out of there and down the road some distance away from this place, we got out and was looking at the vehicle, and on both back quarter panels of the car, there were claw marks.
Oh, my God.
There appeared to be claw marks on them side panels, like something had been holding on to this vehicle. Very scary.
That is a creepy story.
Very creepy. Well, it got my curiosity up a little bit about it, because it really unnerved me. And in doing a little bit of looking and researching, I discovered that the name for that cemetery, Blood Cemetery, came from what used to be a professor at the local college out here some years ago. His last name was Blood, and Mr. Blood, and he was...
How appropriate, huh?
He was expelled, apparently, from the cemetery for doing very strange experiments.
Like what?
Well, apparently experimenting with cadavers and
things
like that.
Sounds like another Dr. Morgus.
As the story goes, apparently he became the caretaker of that cemetery, and some years later they discovered in the basement of that caretaker's place that he had been doing experiments there as well.
Like keeping body parts and things like that?
Oh, yeah. They found all kinds of stuff like that. There was some newspaper articles about it that are, you know, old articles. If you research it in the old newspapers for the Lansing area, you can find articles about that. But that has got to be the most creepy place that I have ever been.
That is strange.
Never been back there and never wished to.
I don't blame you. And the caretaker, whatever became of him?
Well, apparently he had died there at the cemetery.
So maybe he's the one who had the claw marks on the Nova.
I don't know. I to this day, I couldn't tell you what it was.
I dare you to go back and find out.
I have no desire whatsoever to go back there. But this I would tell you, I think that I could find my way back there. If any of your listeners or researchers out there that would be interested in, you know, investigating paranormal events like that, I think that I could show them where the place is.
A little north of Lansing.
A little bit north of Lansing, about 20 miles north of Lansing. I hesitate to kind of give any general directions to locate it. I don't know if I should do that on the air.
Now, we'll have people track it down, but it's called Blood Cemetery.
Well, that's a nickname that was given to it.
The world might not know that then.
I'm not certain of the exact name of the cemetery because I was only ever there the one time, and it was after dark, late at night. And it's a cemetery that's not used anymore. It's long since been closed up.
Okay, but I'm sure unless they relocated the bodies, the caskets, it's probably still there sometime. Thanks for that story. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
You're awesome, bro.
Yeah, I try.
Hey, you do a great job. Several calls back, you had a guy call about some birds. Saw a large flock of birds.
He sent me an email about it, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I live up in Sacramento, and in November I saw a bunch of geese flying. I guess it was south, and all winter, this whole winter, I've seen geese back and forth. I mean, huge flocks. I have a pair of loophole binoculars. They're really nice binoculars. I was looking 20 miles. These things will reach, right?
Yeah.
Really
huge. Yeah. Great vision.
Right. Now the other day, I see little, they look like there were blackbirds. And, I mean, as far as the eye could see, they were just going in circles. They were just, these birds are acting weird. And I've never seen all winter geese, you know, Canadian geese, going back and forth all winter. This has gone on.
They're either thrown off because of the weather changes or something big earthquake-wise, volcano-wise, is going to happen.
Yes, yeah, something's coming, and I think it's coming from the Washington area. I get these vibes, and I just feel it. My dog has been back.
Well, strange. That could be volcano area then.
I feel it. I feel it.
I got another email last week from someone who said that they have been seeing seagulls 500 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, I believe it.
That's crazy.
I know it. And these birds, and they're screaming. They're not acting normal.
I wonder if the poles are shifting faster than we thought.
I think
so. Magnetic poles.
I think so.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Well, you know, something's happening. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, sir. Yeah, my name's Francis. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Francis.
I picked you up off WTAM 1100.
Absolutely, the monster down there.
Oh, yeah. And I go to college down in Alliance, Ohio, which is about maybe 20 minutes outside of Youngstown.
What's the major?
It's out of Youngstown, the city's Alliance. And Mount Union College is basically down here, you know. And
are you in the college though?
Yeah, yes, sir.
What's your major?
Oh, I'm criminal justice.
Oh, okay. That's what my son got a degree in that too.
Yeah, yes, sir. And last Halloween, some of my buddies decided to go down to this orphanage that we have down here, that is haunted.
A haunted orphanage?
Yes.
And are there still kids there?
Well, it was built in the 1930s, and I'm a practicing reverend. I'm licensed to, you know, do marriages and such. And so, you know, my buddies and I, they decided we want to go to this orphanage, and they grabbed me because, of course, I'm the closest thing to a priest they can find within, like, a 100-mile radius.
Right.
So we get down to this place, and apparently this place had caught on fire, but because it was made out of brick, it's pretty much a solid structure still. And as we're exploring this place, you're getting all these hot and cold vibes and little things are moving and such, and it was really weird because, you know, you kind of figured, like, it felt like little kids were grabbing you and such. And that was probably the least freaky thing about this place, because as we're walking up, it's got, like, an attic to it, As I opened the door to this, like, top level of this environment, this black phantom-like entity came shooting out of this thing, like, 100 miles an hour. It just came right past me and my buddies. And we, honestly, it felt like pure evil. And it was, in essence, it was the scariest thing on the face of the earth.
Sounds like it was trapped. Sounds like it was trapped there, and you let it out.
It wasn't so much trapped there. I think it was the predominant evil force of the house. I mean, spirits exist, and so you have spirits that are just like children. They don't realize they're dead. And then this thing was just pure evil. It literally told us in audible speech to get out. And, you know, we basically, I don't mean to sound like a wuss, we turned tail and ran about as quick as we could.
That's not wuss, that's smart.
And hauled some butt, buddy, because, I mean, it was impressively...
And you, the most religious of the bunch, the holy man of the group, you took off too, huh?
Well, I was standing there with my buddy, and my buddy is non-religious, and then my other friend, we had like three or four people with us. My one buddy, his name is Jeremiah, he actually had this entity possess him, and that's how this thing actually spoke. It literally told us through Jeremiah to get out. As we go to turn tail and leave, Jeremiah is kind of released from this state, had no idea what the hell happened to him. Pardon my language there. And
yes, you being a holy man. How dare you?
And we basically turned tail and ran. There was no other way to describe it. When something tells you to get out, and just, you know, that was amazingly scary. This place is actually in the Haunted Ohio book. So.
And what happened to Jeremiah? That's what I want to know.
He basically came out of the state and felt like he was being choked for a minute. He came with us. We all just got the message and basically hauled butt to our vehicle and got out of the place. You know, and I would not recommend anybody going back.
No, not at all. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. And keep the marriages going, but you're doing that. That's interesting. You can marry people, and you're going into criminal justice as well. It's a different, two widespread professions for you. I can't believe we're already at the top of the hour. Okay, when we come back next hour, we're going to continue with open lines, and then at the end of the program, I'm going to run somewhat lengthy interview with Larry Haber, who's the attorney. He represents the John Teeter family. It is a real family. They have moved. You're going to hear a lot about that in the interview. I'll set it up for you, though, when I introduce you. But those of you who are not familiar with John Teeter and just what the heck I'm talking about, years ago, a fellow by the name of John Teeter was posting on the Internet, claimed to be a time traveler from the year 2036. There is a website called John Teeter, TITOR.com, if you want to read up about him. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines, the interview with the attorney, Larry Haber, and John Teeter's mother, Kay, talks through the attorney, answering some of my questions. We'll be back.